So, new Parshas Veschanan. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells us how much he tried to push the Rabbanu Shalom to get to Eretz Yisrael. So Parshas Veschanan, Al Hashem Beisa Hilemar, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I beseeched Hashem at that time, right after he was told, after they conquered the lands of Sichon and Og. So Moshe says, okay, he saw maybe an opportunity. Veschanan, Al Hashem Beisa Hilemar. So what's interesting is like this, is that if you take a look at Rashi, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu's sort of mentality going into this tefillah. You know, because a person can daven in two different ways, right? A person can daven in a way that's very humble, in a way that's very, I'm not going to say lacking confidence in the tefillah, but coming with a certain sense of humility and a certain sense of like, I don't deserve this, I can't expect anything, I can't expect a bunch to do anything for me. That's one way of davening. The other way of davening is with, like it's described by Yaakov Avinu, that he said he conquered things with his tefillah. Yaakov Avinu describes his tefillah, with his sword and with his arrow, like with a certain sense of strength and confidence. It seems that there's a little bit of a contradiction how Moshe Rabbeinu did this tefillah. Because the word that he begins with is Veschanan, right? Veschanan. So what does the word Veschanan mean? So Rashi says, it comes to the word Chain, right? Ein chanun b'chol mokam el lashon matnas chinam. The word veschanan means that a person davening with that word veschanan means that he's davening with a sense of I don't deserve anything, I'm not demanding anything, and I shouldn't necessarily be getting what I'm asking for. I'm asking for a gift, matnas chinam. The word, that's what the word veschanan comes from, chinam, free. It comes from chain, which means to just find favor in Hashem's eyes. Not that I deserve it at all. But if he likes me, maybe he'll give it to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu would seem that he's davening in this way of manas chinam. Mitzad sheni, the end of the word, the end of the pasuk is v'eschanan el Hashem be'yisihi lemar, so saying. What's the addition of this word lemar? So Rashi says lemar means as follows: Sha'amar Moshe lefnei hamakim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, eini manichecha ad shetodieni imtasa she'lasim lav. Moshe said to Hashem, lemar, that part of his tefillah was, I am not allowing you, Hashem, to let go. I'm not allowing you to leave me until you tell me whether the answer is yes or no. Now, this is very strange, because if a person is davening in a way of eschan, in a way of manaschin, in a way of like, I don't deserve anything, it's just all a gift, then why do you have the right to deserve to hear the response right away? Like, if I'm coming to ask you for something that's a complete gift, a complete favor, I'm asking you to do me a favor. So I'm going to come with, you know, with my head down and asking for a favor. And if you tell me, let me get back to you in a couple of days, I can't push you more than that. The whole thing, I'm asking for a favor. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Hashem, I'm asking for a favor. It's b'chol nami, I don't deserve this, Hashem. With your infinite kindness, if you find it in your heart to give me a piece of Eretz Yisrael, amazing. And by the way, I need an answer right now. Like, which way are you going? Are you demanding something because you deserve it? Then you could deserve to have an answer right away. But if you're coming with a way of humility, veschanan, then why is it lamer that you need an answer right now? So which one is it? The truth is, just as we find this little bit of a... Yeah, there's room. Just as we find this little bit of a contradiction between Moshe Rabbeinu's mindset in his tefillah, demanding or humble, even in Hashem's response, we also find a little bit of a contradiction whether the answer is yes or no. So, for example, what does Hashem say? So, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Moshe says that Hashem responded to me, Rav Lach. Al Taisiv Dabri Eli Obed Arazel, don't talk to me anywhere about this Rav Lach. What does the word Rav Lach mean? So Rashi brings two interpretations. One simple pshat is Rav Lach means Genug Shayt, it's enough. Like, you've talked enough about this, let's move on, finished. You're not getting the answers, no. But then Rashi says another pshat, that Rav Lach means Harbe Mizeh Shamar Lach. That Moshe, you ask for Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to give you even more than you're asking for. You're asking for Eretz Yisrael to get mitzvahs, I'm going to give you even more. Rav Toiv Hatzalfen Lach, there's an unbelievable good that's waiting for you in Olam Haba. Which would seem to indicate that the response is, yes, maybe you're not going to physically get to Eretz Yisrael, but what you're asking for, I'm going to give you double. So how do we make sense of that as well? There's also, again, a steer between how Hashem responds to Moshe's tefillah. Is the answer yes? And not just yes, I'm going to give you even more than what you're asking for, or is the answer no? So it's like this. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to get to Eretz Yisrael was not selfish, it was not personal. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal, we understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe would have entered into the land, like what would have happened then? So you know, Chazal said that he would have built the base of Mikdash, and that would have been it. Kaim Lod. So Moshe Rabbeinu's desire was not just to get the Eretz Yisrael personally, it was in order to fulfill the tikkun. Is that what we're looking for with Mashiach should be absolutely manifest in full with Mashiach, with Moshe Rabbeinu entering into the land. Which means that therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be davening in a way that's reflective of what he wants. In other words, what he wants is not just to enter into Eretz Yisrael. What he wants is Gula. And so his tefillah is going to be a tefillah which is trying to bring out that Gula. So what does that mean? So you have a principle from the Vilna Gaon. Okay, the Gaon said like this. He said, "What is the nature of Gaulis? Like, if you boil, you know, all the dust settles, you boil it down to its most essential nakuda. Like, what is Gaulis? The fact that you're not in Eretz Yisrael, that's not really Gaulis. There was an exile of Greece in Eretz Yisrael. So, what exactly is Gaulis? So Gaulis, and there was a base of Mikdash there also. So it's not even not having a base of Mikdash. The Gaon says that the definition of Gaulis is a separation between Pnimius and Chitzainius. On all levels, that's what Golus is. That's what Golus is. In other words, there's two dimensions to reality. There's two levels to every single one of us. There's the world in its superficial, what your eyes see, and then there's what's really going on. And whenever there's a separation between what's really going on beneath the surface and what you're actually experiencing, that's called Golus. That's the reality of Golus. That's true in terms of our relationship with Hashem, that sometimes Hashem, certain things, you know, he does to a person, and it seems, a person experiences A, while not realizing that what Hashem is working out is actually B. And that divide between experiencing A, but what's really happening is B, that's called Golus. That's Golus. That's true within the person himself. There are certain things about myself that I know what I should be doing, I know what I can be doing, but then there's like, in reality, what I am doing. That divide between Pnimius and Chitzainius, that's called Golus. So this divide between Pnimius and Chitzainius affects everything. And one of the dimensions that it affects, that Golus sinks its teeth into, is davening itself. There's such a phenomenon of davening being affected by Golus. What does that mean? In Chitzainius, when a person davens, so person davens, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu's case. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to go to Eretz Yisrael. So in Chitzainius, that's a request that he made. And in Chitzainius, the answer is no. Okay, he didn't get in there. So in other words, in davening, there's in Chitzainius, in our, you know, the way we actually experience what we're asking for and Hashem's response is that sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. But all that is in Chitzainius. In Pnimius, we know from the Svarim, this is a big klal, Reb Leibel Eger talks about it, Reb Tzavik talks about it, that in Pnimius, every tefillah is always answered. That's why you know that the Mefarshim already point this out, on a pshat level, that all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are always in present tense, right? Roifei Chali Ami Yisrael, right? Bainei Yerushalayim. Why present tense? You're asking that, there should be a refuah, so Bez Hashem should heal the sick, or he has healed the sick. But to make a bracha that right now, you know, it's like they say a maisa from the Berditchever, that someone asked him, why are the brachas in the present tense? So he said, B'derech Moshli, he said, let's say you have a father who's there's a bunch of kids at the table, you know, and Shabbos day he's cutting up the challah Friday night, whatever it is, and he's giving out the pieces of challah. And so the way he does it is that he gives the older kid first, and eventually the younger kid gets the last. But the younger kid's very hungry, so the young kid has a chab. That he's gonna make the bracha first, right? He's gonna beat everyone to make the bracha mitzvah. And the father's not sure. I have no choice. I have to give them a piece of challah. You ready to make the bracha? So said the Berditchever is the same thing over here. Like you want the Rebbein Hashem to answer you, so make a bracha that Hashem is roi fechili am Yisrael, and otherwise it'll be a bracha vatel if he doesn't actually give a refuah. So that's a nice little pshat. But in Pnimius, that's the truth. The truth is that although in Chitzainius it might seem that what that a person davens for Reuven to feel better and Reuven doesn't feel better, so in Chitzainius there was a request that was made and the answer is no. But in Pnimius it's never like that. In Pnimius, when a person is davening, the root of what you're davening for is the answer is always yes. In other words, when this guy is sick, Reuven's not feeling well, where is that really coming from? The root of that sickness is not just in the body. The ultimate root of that sickness that Reuven is feeling, whether it be a headache or whatever, is the fact that the light of Hashem is not fully saturating Reuven's life. Wherever Hashem's light is, that place blossoms and is healthy and well. Whenever you see in the world something lacking, whether it be in health, whether it be in parnasa, whether it be in yeshiva das, you name it, anything that there's chaser, that's a symptom. That's not it. What's really happening is that is a reverberation of a deeper chesaron, which is that Hashem's presence is not filling that particular spot of the universe, of reality. And automatically, therefore, that chesaron is going to raise its head in the fact that Reuven has a headache now. But it's not the headache, it's the fact that Hashem's presence, that the neshama of Reuven, Hashem's light in Reuven's life, is being constricted on some level. Whenever a person is davening, you're really davening for two things. Listen, the words that you're saying are, Reuven should not have a headache anymore. That's fine. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. But in its root, in pnimius, what you're really davening for is that, Hashem, I want your light to fill Reuven's life. And I'm hoping that it should materialize in a tangible way, that his headache should go away as well. But the reality is that that's the pnimius, what you're always davening for. In that pnimius reality, the answer is always yes. Every single letter of tefillah is being poil, is activating, is allowing Hashem's light into reality. It's just that the problem is galus. The problem is that there's a reality of galus, which is a brick wall that separates between the world of pnimius and the world of chitzanius. So in the world of pnimius, every tefillah is answered. In the world of chitzanius, you don't always see the reverberations of that response of yes. So in chitzanius, sometimes the headache remains, sometimes it doesn't. But the truth is, on a higher level that's not tangible, the answer is always yes. And Reuven, whatever this means, that in Reuven's life, in Reuven's world, Hashem's light is more invested and more a part of Reuven's neshama, is just that for some reason, the reality of Golos is that in order for that truth, which is in Pnimius, for it to manifest, for it to break through that brick wall, of that mechitza between this world and the higher world, for it to actually make itself known in this world, that takes a lot of effort, and sometimes the answer is no to that. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go back, so Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to get to Eretz Yisrael for what purpose? In order to bring Geula, in order to take away this mechitza, in order to unite the world of Pnimius and the world of Chitzanius, that the answer, which is always yes, should make itself known. So therefore, because of that, the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is davening in such a way to try to bring together these two worlds. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, is davening in a way of like, Rabban Hashem, I don't deserve anything. That way of davening, of humility, is from the perspective of Chitzanius. From Chitzanius, I don't deserve anything. I don't have, what am I supposed to do? I'm just asking for a gift. And sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. But in Pnimius, Moshe says, Lamer, I demand an answer. Because in Pnimius, the answer is always yes. Because Hashem Yisbarach gave us the tools to actually accomplish these things on our own. By saying the words, you automatically bring refuah to the world. You don't see the refuah? That's because of galus. But the reality is that you say these words, these are buttons that you're pushing within the neshama, automatically it's going to be pile. And from the perspective of Pnimis, therefore, you can demand a response. Because I know what the answer is. What's the delay? What do you need a couple days for? I know. The answer is always yes. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself is trying to, he's acknowledging both these types of tefillahs. Ve'eschanan, I acknowledge that in Chitzanius, I don't always see the answers being yes, and sometimes it's no. And therefore, because of that, I can't be too confident in myself. But Lamar, but the other hand, I know in Pnimius, the answer is always yes. And therefore, I could come with confidence in my davening. And Moshe Rabbeinu says both, because his idea is trying to unite these two worlds of tefillah. And Hashem's response is also in kind. Rav lach. Meaning what? Genugshain, stop talking. The answer is no. Or no. The answer is so much yes. And I'm going to give you even more than you're asking for. Which one is it? The answer is in Chitzanius. The answer is no. In Pnimius, the answer is always yes. And this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to accomplish to bring these two together. No, he wasn't able to accomplish it. Galus still sets in. But now our Shabbos is also Shabbos Nachma, right? Nachmu Nachman, but a double Nechama. What's a double Nechama? So double Nechama is to unite these two worlds. That there should be a connection between what is in Pnimius and what we should experience in Chitzanius. And this is the chizik that our tzaddik and reliable Eger say in our parasha that we could take from Veschana, which is that every tefillah is answered. The answer is always yes in Pnimius. Ah, you don't see it? Okay, she's daven harder. But when you daven again and harder, it's not because the answer was no and I'm trying to somehow eventually convince Hashem to give me an answer yes. No. The answer was always yes. It's just for some reason there's a blockage in the pipes, you know what I mean? And all this shef and all this positive energy and reality is building up in the higher world, and it's just a matter of allowing that door to open to allow that truth to come into my life. And the avoda therefore changes. The avoda is not to accomplish, to get Hashem to try to bring a refuah. That's already happened by saying the words. You're then trying to just, that I should see it. That truth, which I know the answer is yes, I should be able to see with my own eyes. And that's ultimately the biggest nechama. The nechama of Shabbos Nachman, the nechama of Mashiach is not that, okay, we'll be taken out of Golos and everything will now be okay. The ultimate nechama is for us to see and to realize that everything we've been asking for, the answer was always yes. And when Mashiach comes, it's going to be revealed in such a way that the doors, the floodgates will open, and then it'll be real. Wow, you're talking with us, Hashem, the whole time. And the answer was always yes the whole time. And every time I davened again and again and again, it wasn't like, okay, finally, by the 100 millionth time, now the answer is yes. No, by the 100 millionth time, you've added 100 million levels of yes. Then 100 million levels of intensity. So every time you daven for something and you have to daven again, don't think of it as like, I'm doing it again because maybe now I'll get answered. No. Every time you daven for something, you are adding intensity to that thing that you're asking for. And when eventually it's shown to you what you, the response which was yes, it's now a rav lach. Now it's like, not only that, but I'm going to give you even more. Even more. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu daven hundreds of times, right? In order to get to Eretz Yisrael. And the response is rav lach. The response is, every single time you ask for Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. You ask again, I'm going to give you even more of Eretz Yisrael, even more rav lach. That's what means rav lach. So that's the chizik, that there's no such thing as repeating something. There's no such thing as a wasted tefillah. There's no such thing as a wasted krechts. This is all necessary, and it's all good, and it's all just a matter of that truth pushing its way through. You know, and that's why Mashiach is called a leid, it's called a birth. Because it's not you're not moving from one door into another. There's you are trying to take something which always was there and allow it to be, allow it to come. And through Golos, the baby gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and eventually the baby's born. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that came from, where it come from? Because from 9 months, it was building up. And that's exactly when Mashiach is going to come. The Gula is not, now you're in Gula. The Gula is something that's been building up for 2,000 years. So Hashem should give us the Nechama. You should be able to have that Nechama. You know, it's like Chazal say, Nachmu Nachmu Ami Yomar Lekechem. Chazal say that Ami that just means my people, but also means Imi, with me. But Hashem says, you know, when the time comes for Mashiach, Hashem's not going to be satisfied with just sending a Navi. You know? It's like there's a vart from Tzfer Shlaima. It says in Pasuk, Nachmu Nachmu Yomar Lekechem. What's the next? Dabar Lev Yerushalayim, Vikirulah, right? Speak to the heart of Jerusalem, speak to Jerusalem, Vikirulah, and call to her. So the Farshim asks, what do you mean, speak to her, and then call to her? What does it mean, call to her, and then speak to her? So Rav Shlomo Leverdomsky used to say, he said that by the time Mashiach comes, you know, Yidden are going to be so tired already. So we're going to have this Navi, like a long white beard, you know, he's going to come and he's going to say, Koyim Arashem, you know? And we're going to say, oh, here it comes. More Musar, more we're doing something wrong, more Tsaris. And they're going to start running away. And then the Navi's going to have to run after. No, I have good news. Nachmu Nachmam. So it's Dabar Lev Yerushalayim, but they're going to start running because they don't want to hear it anymore. No, Kirila. Nachmu Nachmam. No, we shouldn't run anymore. You know, we should be able to hear that Nachama, that every chizik of Nachmu Nachmam. V'yaskal tzedek meri meno amen.